Backup power is any source that keeps your home running when the grid goes down, from a battery you charged last week to a generator out in the yard. The outcome is a house that stays lit, warm or cool, and connected while the utility works to bring the lines back. Get it right and an outage becomes an inconvenience instead of an emergency. Most households come to backup power after they have built a power outage kit and realize the batteries and it only lasts so long. Whether you are just getting prepared and want to keep the phones and a lamp alive overnight, or you are fully prepared and want to run the whole house for a week, there is a source that fits your home and your budget. Start by deciding what you actually need to power and for how long, because that one answer points to the right source. A weekend spent matching your needs to a battery station, a generator, or solar is what turns a vague want for backup power into a plan you can buy and run. Backup power starts with three questions. Choosing backup power gets simple once you answer three questions in order, because each answer narrows the field for you. Working out how to get power to your home before you shop is what keeps you from buying a generator you cannot run or a battery that dies before breakfast. How much do you need to run? Add up the loads you truly need, not everything you own. A few lights, a phone charger, the internet router, and the refrigerator make a modest list that almost any source can carry. Central air, an electric range, and a well pump are heavy loads that push you toward a larger generator, so knowing your real number is what sizes the whole plan. Sort those loads into two piles as you go. The must-run pile holds the refrigerator, heat or cooling, a little light, and a way to charge a phone. The nice-to-have pile holds everything else, and it is the first thing you shed when runtime gets tight. If someone at home depends on refrigerated medicine, an oxygen concentrator, or a CPAP machine, those loads sit at the very top of the must-run pile and the rest of the plan is built around them. Write the watts on a card and tape it inside your electrical panel, so the figure is waiting for you when you shop instead of guessed at in a store aisle. How long must IT last? Match your preparedness expectations with the outages you typically experience first. Because outage times vary. A summer lightning storm that strikes the line somewhere in your area typically means you need to be prepared for one day. This timeline may vary depending on where you live. If you live in a city or metropolitan area, good chance your power will be back within a few hours, but further away from the city it could take 3 days or more. A hurricane, tornado or an ice storm that tears through a region is a different situation, the kind that can leave you powerless for a week or more while crews work through the damage. If you are prepared to handle a power outage for a week, congratulations, you are what we consider sufficiently prepared as this is the top of the common outage timelines. However, there are reasons to be even more sustainable to handle long-term outages. A solar flare that rattles the grid or the deeper grid weaknesses that leave some regions slower to recover, can stretch a month or more. Plan your runtime for the longest outage you realistically expect to face, and the shorter timelines take care of themselves. Where can IT safely run? Your home decides what is even allowed. A generator needs open outdoor air well away from the walls, which a house with a yard has and an apartment does not. A battery station runs indoors with no fumes at all, which makes it the honest answer for tight spaces. Renters and anyone under an HOA have one more layer to check, since many leases and neighborhood rules limit generators, stored fuel, and open flames. Those same limits point straight at a battery station, which needs no one's permission to run in a closet. The three sources of backup power. Nearly every backup power setup is built from three sources, and each one wins at a different job. You are not crowning a favorite, you are matching the source to the three answers you just gave. Battery power stations. A portable power station is a large battery you charge in advance and draw from silently, indoors, with no fuel and no fumes. It is the quiet backbone of modern backup power and the one source an apartment can lean on without a second thought. For an urban prepper working with the least square footage, a charge station and the wall outlets you top it from will cover most outages a city delivers. A small station that keeps phones and a lamp going is an easy first purchase, while one big enough to run a refrigerator costs more and weighs more. Its ceiling is the battery itself, because when it is empty it stays empty until you recharge it. Generators. A generator makes its own electricity from fuel, and that is what lets it carry the heavy loads a battery cannot. This is how a suburban household runs the central air, the well pump, and a full refrigerator and freezer for as long as it is fed. It has to run outside in open air, well away from the home, and it trades quiet and clean for raw wattage. A generator is a mid-range investment that buys the most wattage per dollar, which is why it stays the workhorse for any home that has the room to run one. The ceiling here is your fuel supply, which is why storing and maintaining fuel earns its own section below. Solar panels turn daylight into power and recharge a battery station without a drop of fuel, which makes them the one source that refills itself. Pair panels with a station and the battery that used to die overnight tops back up every sunny day, quietly and for free. This is the off-grid answer and the long horizon one, since sunlight does not run out the way a can of gas does. Panels are the largest cost up front and the slowest to pay off in a single outage, but across years of sunny days they are the cheapest power you will ever store. Its ceiling is the weather and the daylight, so solar rewards the household that can wait for the sun over one that needs full power at 2 in the morning. In practice, the strongest setups layer all three. A battery station for the quiet indoor hours, a generator for the heavy daytime loads, and solar to refill the battery turns three separate ceilings into one system that outlasts any single source. If you only buy one thing to start, a battery station is the safe first move for any home, and you can add a generator or panels as your needs grow. Fuel and runtime decide how long backup power lasts. A source is only as good as what keeps it running, and runtime is where most backup power plans quietly fail. The battery empties, the fuel runs dry, and the setup that looked complete on the shelf comes up short on night three. Planning the fuel and the recharge is what closes that gap before you ever open it. Store fuel so it is ready and safe. Fuel storage is the step most people skip, and it is the one that decides whether a generator starts. Keep gasoline in approved containers, in a shed or a detached space, in the amount your expected outage calls for. Gasoline goes stale in a few months, so treat a fuel stabilizer, https://www.prepper.life/glossary/fuel-stabilizer, as part of the purchase rather than an afterthought. A measured dose when you fill that can keeps the fuel usable for a year or more, which is the difference between a generator that fires up and one that only gargles when you need it. Rotate the cans into your car on a schedule so the supply stays fresh and nothing sits long enough to varnish. Propane is the low-maintenance alternative, since it stores for years without going stale and many generators burn it directly. If you dread fuel upkeep, a propane-capable generator trades a little runtime for a fuel you can set in the garage and forget. Size the fuel to the runtime. Once you know your loads and your target days, the fuel supply follows from them. A generator running a refrigerator and a few lights sips far less than one powering central air, so the same cans last very different lengths of time. Run the generator for an hour with your real load and note how much it burns, then multiply by the hours you expect to need across a day. Most homes never run a generator around the clock anyway, and cycling it a few hours on and off to keep the refrigerator cold and the phone's charge stretches a tank much further than leaving it running. Store enough for the outage you plan for, add a little margin, and rotate it so it is always fresh. Match the plan to your home. A rural, https://www.prepper.life/type/rural-prepper, household plans for the drive, not just the storm. Repair crews reach dense areas first, so a home at the end of a long line waits longer for the grid, https://www.prepper.life/glossary/grid, to return and should store more fuel and lean on solar to stretch it. A suburban home splits the difference, a generator for the heavy hours and a station for the quiet ones. An urban apartment skips fuel entirely and leans on the station and the recharge. Living far out is not only a longer wait for power, it is also more room to store fuel and mount panels, so the distance that costs you time hands you capacity in return. Solar turns runtime into an asset. The reason to add solar is that it removes the fuel ceiling altogether. A generator is bounded by the cans in the shed, but a panel refills the battery every day the sun is up, on its own and for free. A household that pairs even a small array with its station stops counting down to empty and starts each morning closer to full. That is how a grid down, https://www.prepper.life/glossary/grid-down, stretch that would strand a fuel-only setup becomes something you can simply live through. Run backup power without getting hurt. The last piece of a backup power plan is running it safely, because the same gear that keeps you comfortable can harm you when it is used wrong. Two hazards do most of the damage, and both are simple to prevent once you know them. Keep carbon monoxide outside. A generator's exhaust carries carbon monoxide, a gas you cannot see or smell that turns deadly in an enclosed space. Run a generator only outdoors, in the open, well away from windows, doors, and vents, and never in a garage even with the door raised. Put a battery-powered carbon monoxide alarm in every sleeping area so the house warns you before the gas can build, and learn the early signs so you can act on them. Carbon monoxide poisoning sends families to the hospital after every major storm, and clean air plus a working alarm prevents nearly all of it. Feed the house, not the power line. Send generator power into your home through a transfer switch or an interlock installed by an electrician, rather than a cord run into a wall outlet. Pushing power backward through an outlet sends it onto the utility line, where it can injure a lineman working to restore your grid and can start a fire when service returns. Run cords straight from the generator to the devices you are powering, or have the transfer switch done once and use it safely for years. When grid power does snap back, a surge protector on your sensitive electronics guards them from the spike that often rides in with it. Prove IT before you need IT. Test the whole setup on a calm evening instead of discovering the gaps during a real outage. Take the one-day no-power challenge with your backup power doing all the work, and you will learn fast which battery was low, whether the generator starts on last season's fuel, and how long the station truly lasts under your loads. Fix each gap the next day while it is fresh, and the plan you tested becomes the plan you can trust. Conclusion: backup power comes down to a match, not a purchase. Answer what you need to run, how long it has to last, and where it can safely run, and the right source nearly picks itself. A battery station covers the quiet indoor hours, a generator carries the heavy loads, and solar refills the battery for free, and the strongest homes layer all three. Store your fuel with a stabilizer so it is ready, keep carbon monoxide outside, feed the house through a transfer switch, and prove the whole thing with a test run. Do that and a dark grid becomes something you are prepared for instead of something that catches you out.